William Benton's accomplishments in energy are legion. My father first told me about him and the spectacular Robert Hutchins when I was growing up in Iowa City, a couple hundred miles to the west of here. Benton mastered virtually everything he touched, and his restless, curious mind touched almost all that life has to offer during the 73 years we were blessed to have him with us. He was, in turn, a good student, a super salesman, creative advertising executive, successful businessman, an energetic vice president of this great university, an architect of major domestic and foreign policy programs as ambassador and statesman in the executive branch of the federal government, a distinguished United States senator, and of course, publisher of the Encyclopedia Britannica and related ventures, surely one of the most distinguished publishing endeavors in the world. But throughout this zigzag life, there runs a thread. For most of what Bill Benton did involved in one way or another the communications process and much of the history of mass communications in America shows his hand. At Yale, he was chairman of the Yale Record, and at that age, he early experienced the process of censorship. In his early years in advertising, radio was just coming into its own, and Benton was personally responsible for many of the program formats and advertising techniques that are still with us today. I recall his telling me of his walking down a street in Chicago one summer evening in those early days. There was no air conditioning then, as you see there is now, and the windows of the homes were all open, and he could hear the radios playing. And almost all of them, he noticed, were tuned in to Amos and Andy. Now, he'd earlier made some of the first consumer opinion surveys for advertisers, but this evening stroll was probably the first effort at program ratings. And there's some question whether today's methods are really any better than those he used then. When he left advertising, he soon stopped listening to the programs that he had created, but he never really lost his interest in radio and later television as educational tools. While here at Chicago, he developed the university's role in educational radio and institutional films. Years later, I remember a luncheon with him in London where he was urging the creation of the Open University as a use of television. He was one of the first to foresee the role that radio would play in politics, and years later, he would be one of the first to use television in his own successful campaign for the United States Senate. A study of the BBC in the 1930s quickly convinced him of the superiority of that system to the one that he had helped create here. Now, cable television is one of the hot items in mass communications today and here in Chicago. But it was Bill Benton who was dealing in what might have been called cable radio some 35 years ago. He called it Muzak. Many have forgotten that Benton was also in the newspaper publishing business, and that his paper, PM, was the first to carry listings of radio programs, the predecessor of today's TV Guide. Pay TV, or subscription television, is also being talked about today, and my agency, the Federal Communications Commission, has recently authorized some experiments. But once again, it was Bill Benton who first proposed subscription radio to the Federal Communications Commission in the early 1940s. He saw the uses of radio by government. He encouraged the shortwave broadcasts after World War II that would become the Voice of America, a name he is credited with creating. He urged UNESCO, which he would later serve as an ambassador, to use radio to educate the peoples of the world. And his maiden speech in the Senate also urged a Marshall Plan of ideas. As Assistant Secretary of State, he was to encounter the intransigence of the American radio networks in refusing to provide facilities for Secretary Burns to report to the people. Now today we're a little more sophisticated about the role of government in intimidating the media for partisan advantage, for we've watched the process for the last few years. But Senator Benton was one of the first to suggest a nonpartisan review of the performance of the media, a press council, about 25 years ago. And only in the last few months was it finally created as others caught up with his early vision. For Bill Benton knew from his own experience as well as his insight that, and I quote him, freedom of information means freedom from any monopoly whatever, public or private. Recently, a network president gave a speech in Washington angrily denying any possibility of self-censorship, only to return to New York to announce that his network henceforth would provide viewers no commentary or analysis whatsoever following presidential speeches over the protest, it might be noted, of his news department. Benton knew that freedom of information could be imperiled as much by those who dispense it as by the censors in government. And so, from this rich lifetime of participation in the process of mass communications, came an understanding of a need for reform. Reform, in some instances, of forces which he himself had set in motion. And I think history should record that he was big enough to acknowledge that fact and then to act upon it. For he and his family have generously established the Benton Foundation to make possible some of those badly needed reforms. Not in conventional ways, but in the greatest tradition of Bill Benton himself, what he has characterized as bold and innovative ways. So that even in death, he moves us forward with ideas and insights and actions in mass communications that are so characteristically of him, years ahead of their time. A more precious gift to the American people, a more fitting memorial for Bill Benton could not be imagined.